to deal primarily with the support services by government. Whether it is by government at national, making decisions, whether implementation takes place in the provinces. It is a making of six to get reports from the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries on areas that impact very much in terms of their implementation at provincial level. Hence, we have brought both the national department and also provincial departments that deal with agriculture, primarily. Forestry and fisheries are basically your national competence. However, we do find some problems involved in this area, in whichever way that they get involved in. The main aim, as we had attempted in our last session, which we could not take it forward, was to get such a support so that they are collaborated by provincial, both the head of departments and also chairperson of committee, so that we have a clearer picture as to how best we go forward. We take a very keen interest, so that's because it is very important that support services are coordinated and they are in fact intended or serve the intended object of having to impact on that life of that ordinary person out there. At the end of the day, we need to see a difference, a change, so to speak. We have been getting reports from the National Department on work done by CASP, Comprehensive Agriculture Support Program. And all along, it has been a report that showed an increase in the budget incrementally. And the question that we would have asked ourselves at the time, the terminologies, they kept changing from time to time. You would have been talking about emerging farmers. And the question arose as to what an extent and how far are we going to be emerging, and for how long are we going to be emerging? At what point must we find ourselves having emerged? Then the terminology changed. We're now talking about smallholder farmers. We'll still have to ask the same question. Until when are we going to be supporting that smallholder farmer? At some point, that smallholder farmer has to be big, especially your black farmer, so that we are to be able to see that significant response. Because that budget, as it increases, we must find a metric that gives us an indication as to having been able to support over the past 5 years these 100 farmers, these 100 fisheries companies that are small scale forestry centers. Out of those 100, we must be able to say 5 years later, have we been able to make a success so that we don't throw resources into a bottomless pit? The intention here is to see that qualitative rather change in terms of those that shall have been able to find themselves in smaller at some point 5 years later, with pride being able to say, we are now turning the tide. We find ourselves in that situation so that we are clearer as to which direction are we headed for. And that is obviously going to be finding itself being guided by a vision that all of these must talk to. That whatever growth that we are to talk about, it has to be guided by a particular vision. The Planning Commission has begun some amount of work. There has been an interaction within the department and that Planning Commission. So that when we have to say, out of the farmers in South Africa who are into cattle farming, over 50% of them being black communal farmers, are we then able to see ourselves making that stark difference within that lot? Does that work that happens increases that beef production from among those 50% over being black communal farmers from that near 10% into 20% into 30%? Because that also shall reduce the amount of beef that we import from outside of our country. So that is the main aim among us, all working towards having our country being food secured, so that we don't get the vast amount of chicken that we are importing from Brazil anymore. We grow our own. That's the aim, so that when we have to talk about all of this kind of support, it is targeted towards increasing our production of food in the country, so that we at the end are to emerge as being net exporters of food, unlike the situation we find ourselves in some sectors or sub-sectors of our food production. I thought I might wish to just give the context in the fashion I have just alluded to. For those that have just arrived, we are just only starting. And perhaps it might also be important that we get a sense as to who is here among ourselves. I must start off by signaling some apologies that we received, both from the Minister and Deputy Minister as well, told. Though we did get an indication earlier on that he would have been here from the Minister. Mama Nyalungu has sent us her apologies alongside Mama Paliso, and also MEC from Northwest and also from Malanga. Am I correct to suggest that we only have those apologies? And almost immediately, also MEC from Gauteng as well. And having said so, therefore, I'm not sure if we do have any other mic here. If we could get an indication as to who is among ourselves, and perhaps if we could start off with the provinces, and then we end up with the national department. just taking that wrong direction.
Peter Tabete, Head of Department in the State.
So this is our show, Senior Manager of the Department of Agriculture and Farmland Affairs. Good morning, everyone. I'm Mandisi Mabelini, Committee Support Staff, Eastern Cape. Magabongo Ikiwani, Committee of Staff, Eastern Cape Provincial Legislature.
Morning, Bishop Kwala, KLFM, Deputy Manager.
Morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, HODs, colleagues. I am Sidney Bulito Maseveni, Eastern Cape, representing the HOD from Eastern Cape.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jereen Isaacs, and I'm the head of Department for Agriculture Western Cape.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dudley Adolf. I'm Chief Director for Farmer Support in Western Cape.
Morning, Chair, Honorable Members. I'm Khadi Mokhajani from the Northwest.
Morning, Chair. My name is Sibuyen Chizeta from the National Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, responsible for forestry and natural resource management.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Fayun Mutibi, HOD Agriculture, Northern Cape.
Good morning, everybody. My name is T.S. Marupi, Agriculture, Northern Cape.
Morning, Chair and Members. Mortimer Mania from the Limpopo Department of Agriculture, Head of Department, and just to tend the apology for MEC Marule for Limpopo Agriculture.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pav Kuvana from the Eastern Cape Provincial PMO.
Morning, George Mashamba, Chairperson. Agriculture for Fulukun.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mohammed Gina from the Agricultural Research Council.
Good morning, Chairman. My name is Timothy Simalenga from also Agricultural Research Council.
I'm Mayambela,
Good morning, everybody. My name is Joyce Chicha. I'm from the African Center for Security at the University of KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, Melinda Strip. And Rural Development, thank you.
Good morning. I'm Michael Musifani from the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, Gauteng.
Good morning, my name is Stephen Dombela, acting DG, the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Good
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Jacob Sashwa, the CFO of DAF.
Good morning, Chair and colleagues. My name is Bongam Soome from Department of Agriculture and Fisheries.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Aldam Chiza, responsible for the conditional grants, CAS and Lima in the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Nkangwe Ramashia. I'm from the National Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Good morning, my name is Bume Kovana from Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. Good morning everyone, my name is Alex Stein, I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee for Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Pilangai, Chairperson, Eastern Cape.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Peter van Dalen. I'm also a member of the Portfolio Committee for Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Good morning, everybody. I am Elizabeth Bikamswami, a member of this committee on agriculture, forestry and fisheries.
Morning, everybody. My name is Ndombiya Sitwala, member of the Portfolio Committee on Forestry, Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries.
Thank you, David, for that wonderful job that you know that deployed you into. Members, officials, we now have a clearer idea to who we are here. Without waste of time, we have a program that is going to follow like this. We shall start off with CAS. Followed with MAFISA, followed by mechanization, and lastly by land care. Without waste of time. Is there anybody from Kumalanga here? Came down with here. The only other apology that I got was from the chairperson of the committee from KZM. He missed his flight earlier, but he will be joining us later. The flight arrived here at 11 o'clock. That would be Mr. Tim. Can we move on, and then we shall see what happens with Mpumalanga? I see Mrs. Chize making a call. Okay. Yeah, thanks for that introduction, and I trust that we shall, without waste of time, continue. The intention also it is to try and shift as much as we can to the point and also do the best of what we can. If we could also be able to speak such that we do not elaborate a lot. We do have the copies in front of ourselves. we do not wish to be bogged down by the pot taking the bulk of our time. This is a meeting of the members of parliament. It is not a meeting of the department. We need to spend more time as member of parliament, as member of provincial legislature, engaging with the report, not the other way around, where 45% or 80% of the time taken over by the report. And let's bear that to the group of mind as we move forward. Let's engage.
Good morning and thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members, colleagues, and members of the Governance Portfolio Committee. The Chairperson has laid a good background to the purpose of today's meeting. I won't go into that. Again, we were here about 2 or 3 months ago to make the same presentations, and the committee was unhappy with certain aspects of the presentation, and then there was a recommendation that we come back today to make those presentations. What we will do, as the Chair has indicated, we'll start off with the Comprehensive Agricultural Support Program, CAS, followed by MAFISA, and then mechanization, supported, will be supported in that presentation by the ARC. For CAS, Ms. Elda Mchiza is going to make the presentation. For MAFISA, Mr. Sajoyo, the CFO, will make that presentation. For land care, it will be Ms. Chipeta. For mechanization, it will be Mr. Stormy, supported by the ARC. The first one, CAST, this is a presentation. The way you have formulated it, or formatted it, is it's provincial. It's got provincial focus. So there will be a presentation on each province. But I will ask Ms. Mchiza to sort of summarize in a way, because it's a rather long presentation. I see that it's got about 75 slides. Ms. Mchiza.
Thank you, Acting Teacher. Honorable Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee. My presentation, can I be allowed to sit down? Thank you. My presentation is going My presentation is going to be touching on CAS and Dilema Mizima performance as at end of 2011-2012. And I'll be talking on the peoples of CAS. This is what we have added here so that we talk to the concept document issues, why it was established, the background, the grants since inception. We will talk about the diversity allocation and its quest for 2011-12, performance of CAS and expenditure, and then we touch on performance in the province, all the 9 provinces. Then we'll give a summary of farmer training, a summary of performance of agricultural colleges, a summary of Ilima Lizima. And I will show you the Ilima Lizima grants since its inception, how much money has been budgeted and spent in that space, as well as its performance at end of March 2012. Look at the beneficiaries supported through Ilima Lizima food security program, jobs created, and what we discuss as our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. The purpose for CAS is to provide effective agricultural support and to streamline the provision of services to targeted beneficiaries of land reform, restitution, and redistribution. But it is also to other black producers who have acquired land through private means, and my engaged in value-adding enterprises domestically or involved in export. CASP, when it was conceptualized, it touches on the sixth pillar, which is information and knowledge management, technical and advisory assistance, financial services, but the financial service pillar was later on branded as MAFISA. That is the pillar where loans were to be provided. And if I were to remind everyone, this CASP conception came post the Strauss Commission, where the department was trying to leave the gap created when the Agriculture Credit Board was closed down. The other pillar is to focus on training and capacity building for farmers, marketing and business development, as well as on and off farm infrastructure. The key beneficiaries would be the hungry and the malnourished households and farm and business level activities, which include your smallholder and subsistence farmers, and also can be moved to the agro macro system within the consumer economic environment. And I may just add that all our funds at this point in time are directed to the five pillars, because the sixth pillar, which is financial services, as I said, was branded as MAFISA. So the money focuses on the rest of the pillars. Then investment since inception, the CASP was established in 2004-5 financial year with a budget of 200 million. And it has increased since then, where in 2011-12, we were sitting at 1,029,000 rand. What has been invested at end of 2011-12 is about 4.3 billion. And of that 4.3 billion, 3.7 billion was actually the actual expenditure of the grant, meaning that we have since then achieved about 87% spending of the total budget that was allocated within the task space, touching on 6,821 projects and benefiting about 349,000 farmers. My focus for this report is on the 2011-12 gathered head allocation, and as you will see, the Eastern Cape received about 124 million, Free State 102 million, Gauteng 41 million, KwaZulu-Natal 164 million, Limpopo 154 million, Mpumalanga 102 million, Northern Cape 72 million, Northwest 133 million, and the Western Cape 82 million. This was the spread that resulted in the 1.029 billion that I spoke about earlier. This fund, when it reaches the province, has to be broken down into the money that will be spent on projects. And the money that is spent on projects includes the 10% that must be spent on farmer training. Then we have the money that is earmarked solely for extension recovery plan, which is supposed to be supporting extension services, upgrading qualifications of extension officers, and providing them with the necessary resources to perform their work. And of course, the 50 million which was budgeted was earmarked for agricultural colleges, and as you can see, we have colleges only in Eastern Cape, Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, and the Western Cape. The only two provinces without colleges, which was Gauteng and Northern Cape, but we have since launched the Gauteng College of Agriculture in the West Rand. So I'm sure they would be part of the allocated funding moving into the future. Projects including training receives the largest part of the budget, which is 672 million of the 1 billion. Extension recovery plan was 306 million and as I said, agricultural college is 50 million. But of the 50 million, what actually was transferred to the Western Cape was not 4 million, it was 3.6 million. So in actual fact, we couldn't really get the answers from National Treasury when we tried to follow up what happened to the 400,000 that the province should have received. But the budget was less than what was initially budgeted for. The expenditure pattern was actually fairly good, considering that we had two provinces that really struggled to reach the 90% mark, which was Gauteng and Northwest. But overall, we were sitting at 93%, almost 94% spending of the money. There were some provincial rollovers in Eastern Cape, Western Gauteng, as well as the Northern Cape, but those provinces actually did well in terms of spending the overall budget that they had available to spend within CASP. The total available funding for 2011-12, including rollover, was 1,049,000. On top there, I don't have a pointer. And anyone with a pointer, can you please help me? Thank you. The disbursement schedule indicates the period at which we distribute the funds and what percentages get distributed to provinces within the quarter. And you'll see we have four quarters. In quarter one, 10% was sent of the total budget per province. They received 10% of the allocation in quarter one. In quarter two, they received 20% of the allocation. In quarter three and quarter four, they received 35% of the allocation. The disbursement schedule is really determined by the history and the previous performances of provinces, such that we treasury is of the view that we should not push too much money than what the provinces could take at a particular period. So that was the reason that determined the disbursement schedule for last financial year. Now I'm getting to how Eastern Cape spent their 174 million. This is really a summary of the actual work done, but I pulled on the key critical issues that are supposed to be informing the minister's performance agreement and also be informing our reporting to the outcome 7. The province spent 164 million. As I said earlier on, they achieved 93% or almost 94% spending on their budget. This was actually an improvement from their 2010-11 performance, because in 2010-11 they achieved 90% spending. They implemented 147 projects, reaching 5,369 beneficiaries, and as you can see, those beneficiaries are defined in terms of their categories: 5,000 subsistence, smallholder, and flag commercial farmers supported as indicated, and the total of which were women was about 2,524. They have created about 1,133 jobs, and we're still having a lot of discussions around jobs involving our trade department, because some of the provinces are really not reporting all the jobs, so we need to get a true definition of which jobs are we talking about. In other instances, the same beneficiaries are not regarded as jobs created, and we might argue that you have created jobs in them. So these are except the beneficiaries themselves, who are the farmers. These are the additional jobs that they created. Communities supported in the Eastern Cape were livestock, which focused on, the province focused on beef, wool, and mohair, piggery, as well as poultry. Crops, they invested in vegetables and grains, and fruit in deciduous, as well as citrus. The
farmer trained was 3,284, and with the farmer training, they do need base training, where the farmer's needs are determined, and the training is done according to the priorities as per their needs. And the numbers is also detailed in terms of the males and females, as well as the youth and disabled. On the extension recovery plan, they recruited about 244 extension officers since the inception of the program. And in the year 2011-12, there was no recruitment at all, but the budget was still paying the recruited extension officers within the province. They have upgraded qualifications for, or they are busy in upgrading qualifications for 225 extension personnel. And these qualifications include your PhDs. We have details of who these numbers are. We can give you categories in terms of how many PhDs, how many degrees, how many diplomas, and so on. Upgrading facilities for Solo and Fort Cox. Later on, you'll see on the summary of colleges exactly what gets done in those spaces within colleges. With Ilima Lesima, they have actually planted about 5,286 hectares of maize in Ankwa, Nzoa, Matole, Tshani, Jograbi, and Uwakambo districts, and 195 hectares of vegetables in Kakatu district, supporting 19,012 farmers. This at the bottom is a chart that shows you the total budget commodity. Fruit, they received 4 million, they spent 23 million in grains, and 7 million in irrigation schemes, where they increased production in irrigation schemes, or around irrigation schemes. 2.1 million was spent on households, 2 million on agri-parks, and 1.5 million in potato production. Within CASP, when we spoke about the investment in livestock, poultry, and fruit, these are the outputs that we delivered. As I said earlier on, CASP focuses on and off farm infrastructure, farmer training, and so on. They did a lot of, they provided a lot of irrigation systems for farmers. They did fencing, animal handling facilities, abattoir, stock water structures, piggery, poultry structures, hydroponics, and as you can see, the numbers are indicated on the slide. And I know that the members, you do have the copy of this presentation. I'm just heading to the call of the acting teacher that I must run on this presentation. The commodities, this is now the budget, as I have indicated to you. A lot of money went on to livestock, and they actually performed well against their budgeted money. Beef was the one that actually received the most budget. And this is the spread, a pie chart that just shows where, given everything else, where, within which state did the money go, and you can see, as I said, livestock is the largest budget, and this was driven mainly by beef production. Challenges and remedial actions of the province. They indicated that the systemic and cumulative delays in processes and procurement practices hinders the implementation, poor retention and high turnover of engineering technical staff, inadequate capacity in the fields of resource planning, farm planning, and economy due to insufficient and experienced staff, and the staff moving to better remunerated positions in management and other fields, meaning that you lose the technical expertise on the ground. What they see as mitigating stresses on systemic and cumulative delays to establish a focused conditional grant pathway. I can hear testimony that that task team was established by the MEC. It was during the time of MEC Soboni. And they have decentralized authority to speed up the authorization and procurement processes. That actually has now beared themselves, as you have seen, their performance has improved. They have elevated specific dispensation packages for engineering capacity. This is what they propose should be done to retain engineering and technical staff and make use of contracted engineering services. On inability inadequate capacity, they propose that we need to implement an occupational specific dispensation to retain skills and provide incentives to develop skills in this field. One of their challenges, and this is a common to many provinces, is capacity of contractors, especially developing contractors. What they propose should be the mitigating steps is closer evaluation of bidding entities prior to awarding the bid with respect to current commitments and capacities. Propose the set up and maintenance of a contractor's log with respect to government contracts, closer inspection and monitoring of progress of contractors awarded tenders, as well as making sure that you confirm their effective progress to be proactive to overcome mental health insufficient. Access to credit and financial service, financial reserves of contractors to absorb implementation adversity. And I think this is mainly because there's a drive to make use of previously disadvantaged contractors who might not necessarily have the financial muscle to carry their obligations. What they propose is to make greater use of past payments to reduce levels of cash outlays by contractors, balance use of experienced and proven contractors with that of less experienced contractors to achieve both efficient project implementation and development of less experienced contractors. What usually happens is we will make a follow-up in this financial year to see if what they had said to do to change their challenges is actually happening. Coming to the free state, the budget was 102 million as I had said. They had 3 million rollover and their total spending was at 106 million, which is 99.7%, almost 100% if you round it up. It was an improvement from their performance of 95% last financial year. They implemented 107 projects, reaching 2,782 beneficiaries. They are also categorized into how many subsistence, smallholder and black commercial. Of the 2,007, 1,484 were women. They created or reported to have created 590 jobs. And the money was spent mostly in livestock, beef, wool. They trained about 1,646 and recruited 64 extension officers, 16 in 2012. They upgraded qualifications for 24 extension personnel, upgraded facilities for Glen College of Agriculture, planted vegetables, crops and fruits on 1,840 hectares of land in all five districts of the province. They spent their money in irrigation production around irrigation schemes, household hectares, rich as well as high impact projects and also processing. 2.1 million was for irrigation production around irrigation schemes. They spent 5.1 million in household food production, 34 million in crops and high impact projects, 4.7 million, and for processing, about 4.9 million. This is their ILEMA spread. The total budget was 52 million. They spend around irrigation schemes, as you see, is that, and as I said, household, school gardens, they spend about 192 of their budget. Community and public gardens, they supported as well, 3,000. Farmers supported, 44 million. And processing within and development of agri parks, they spent about 2.6 million. They also spent their money in aquaculture.
commodities supported. It's livestock, as I said, poultry, horticulture, crops, maize, sunflower, wheat, agro processing, and salt pasture. This is the spread in terms of the pie chart. The biggest budget went to livestock, 46% of their budget. Poultry, 28%, horticulture, 4%, crops, 7%, and agro-processing, 13%, salt pasture, and each other of them, the smallest percentage, 2%. This is the project delivered in terms of output. They fenced about 48 kilometers when they had planned to fence 33 kilometers of fencing. They invested money on the irrigation systems for their farmers, animal handling facilities, stock water structures, and the list goes on. As indicated here, more budget also went to the boreholes, where they spent money in 46 boreholes for farmers. The challenges for the first stage, they mentioned lack of equitable share to supplement cash spending demand in the program and increase farmer support packages in the province. They have, however, started a program they call Mumamo Boom, which has actually attracted some funding from the provincial equitable share, and they're believing that it would actually be a vehicle to introduce more funding to do farmer support. One of the challenges is the escalating cost of value-added equipment, materials, and production inputs, and they're looking at exploring opportunities for alternative markets. And in this instance, we are busy with opening up government markets. This would also help. Kaohsiung Province, their budget, as I said, was 41 million, rolled over 2 million, and they spent about 28 million, which is 64%. This was a decline from their 73% spending in 2010-11. They implemented 137 projects, reaching 256 beneficiaries, creating 124 jobs. They focused their spending in livestock as well, vegetables and fruit. Trained 203 farmers in targeted needs-based training, recruited 114 extension officers, upgraded qualifications for 9 extension personnel, and planted 1,841 hectares. The ILEMA budget was spent in what they call the Siyazonga Homestead Backyard Garden. The largest of their budget went into households getting 10 million of each, and they spent 11.3 million. They spent money also in their community food gardens, 1.4 million, and the within community food gardens, they did storage containers, fencing, borehole, and irrigation, as well as electricity installation. The commodities that the province invested in are, as outlined, piggery, poultry, horticulture, irrigation, livestock, and food security projects. And this is the pie chart, which indicates that their biggest budget went into poultry production, followed by hydroponics and piggery. Project output delivered. They also invested in irrigation systems. They did fencing, provided animal handling facilities, pack house facilities, piggery structures, as well as poultry structures, which were layers and boilers, as indicated, boreholes, cash pens, and food security projects. The challenges, lack of adequate capacity for the management of conditional grants. The province has since advertised the post for a CAS project manager, which was shortlisted. I'm sure they are now in the process of appointing the person. lack of proper and accurate planning, the procurement processes have now been streamlined in planning of projects to ensure on-time procurement and implementation. Lack of adequate engineering expertise for monitoring of infrastructure. You realize that this is actually the biggest challenge which is experienced by many provinces. They're looking at coordination and collaboration with the DIC department. Inexperienced and technically non-compliant service providers. They're looking at creating a breakdown of the deliverables into smaller, manageable proportions. This was almost the approach that was also proposed by the fund case. There's insufficient commitment in fund beneficiaries. They are recommending people better scanning and training of those beneficiaries. KwaZulu-Natal, the budget, as I said, was 164 million. They spent 164 million, which means they spent all the budgets that they had, and this actually was constant with their performance in the previous financial year. They implemented 74 projects, reaching 9,156 beneficiaries. 3,400 of them were women. They reported to have created about 844 jobs. Spent money also in livestock, crop, which includes vegetable, sugar, cane, and grain, as well as line programs. They trained 5,484 farmers in targeted based training, and they are also categorized in males and females. They recruited about 258 extension officers since 2008-09, and in 2011-12, they recruited about 23 extension officers, which adds to the 258. They are currently upgrading qualifications for 239 extension personnel, and they have planted on 10,000 hectares of land, yellow maize, sugarcane, and vegetables. They have supported about 84,000 households with seeds, fertilizers, and small implements. This was actually their breakdown in terms of how they spent their Lima budget. 20 million was budgeted for mechanization, 26 for the Mankatishitne irrigation development, and 13.6 for food security, and all the budget was spent within that space. Coming to their cost, commodity forecast, the budget line program received the biggest budget. Over 40 million was spent in line program, followed by your livestock, grain, vegetables, as well as sugarcane. As I said, vegetables received 50% of their budget, yes, in the biggest cake, which is lime, and grains was 23%, followed by livestock at 25%, 8% sugarcane, and vegetables 14%. Project output delivered. They also did the irrigation system, 122 kilometers of fencing, animal stock handling facilities, stock and irrigation dams, stock water structures, dairy structures, goats, sheep structures, piggery, as well as poultry structures, hydroponic, 7 dipping tankers, peg house facilities were 4, where they planned to do 6, vegetable gardens and 4 homes. There are challenges, they mentioned mainly drought and floods, which destroy the yield and infrastructure of projects supported, and they are proposing to do a climate smart or climate change intelligence when deciding on projects to be supported. There is conflict among beneficiaries, which delays the implementation of projects, and they are also proposing, like other provinces, to do proper selection of projects and do a community building exercise on projects with many beneficiaries. Limpopo has 164 million, they spent 139 million, which was 90% of their budget. This was actually an 8% drop from the 100% spending. They implemented 131 projects reaching about 1,410 beneficiaries, 748 of which were women. They created 1,277 jobs, and they spent their money in horticulture, poultry, piggery, livestock, and dairy. They trained 355 farmers in targeted needs-based training, recruited about 151 extension officers, 14 of which were recruited in 2011-12. They did their upgrading qualifications for 93 extension personnel, upgrading facilities for Dombi Selenga and Mandela College of Agriculture. They have planted on 10,000 hectares of vegetables and fruits in all the districts. This was their breakdown of the Elima budget. They did revitalization of irrigation schemes, and these were more on-farm irrigation systems. Household gardens and households supported with input, school, community, and public gardens, as well as production within smallholder and subsistence farmers. They spent about 73% of their Elima budget. Within CAS, the horticulture received the highest budget, followed by poultry and livestock. They spent in dairy as well as piggery, and this was their pie chart, where 48% went to horticulture, 44% to poultry, and the smallest budget really went to livestock, dairy, and piggery. Their outputs were mainly in irrigation systems, as I mentioned. They did small fencing there. Animal handling facilities were the ones that took the largest chunk in pledge 256 and ended doing 72. Dairy structures, one figure structure, poultry, and one petrol facility, as well as seven vegetable gardens. Projects. The challenges and remedial actions. They spoke on project construction and said one of the biggest challenges that faced is failure of service providers to meet their contractual obligations, and those could still be the same as indicated by the other provinces. They are proposing to do a breakdown of deliverables into small manageable proportions. Production challenges, they spoke about escalating prices of materials and production inputs, which increases the cost of implementing projects. They spoke about escalating prices of electricity, lack of farmer commitment, aging farmers, large distances between farmers and markets, as well as poor access to old infrastructure. What they mitigate, the next mitigating step is to look for opportunities for alternative markets, continuous engagement with ESCOM and municipalities, explore other sources of electricity, e.g. solar, in their projects, proper selection of beneficiaries, introduce and attract youth in agriculture, collaborate with community organizations and rural development, as well as proper special training to be done. On development systems, they looked at weak program coordination within the department and inadequate planning and comprehensive support to farmers. They see mitigating steps as that the program should interface and integrate with other programs and provide holistic and comprehensive development approach. Mpumalanga, they had 102 million and they spent about 103 million, which is more than the allocated budget. They went by 0.6% on their on their allocation. And in the previous year, they did proceed 100% spending, so they are constant with their performance. They implemented 24 projects, reaching 8,610 beneficiaries, and those are divided into the category of subsistence, smallholder, and land commercial. The 2,200 of which were women, They created about 539 jobs, which they reported. Communities supported were in poultry, vegetables, food, sugarcane, and animal processing. The training is actually poor at this point in time, where in only 393 farmers were trained, and the province recruited about 46 extension officers. Since the inception of ERP in 2008-09, 32 of which were recruited in 2011-12. They upgraded, or they are upgrading qualifications for 97 extension personnel, and they are upgrading facilities for low field quality of agriculture. But I may add that they received an additional budget, which was outside DORA, for the Marapiani College of Agriculture, which they had just opened. They supported 32,615 households with production input and planted about 49,000 hectares of land. That is slide 41. On slide 52, I'm using my hard copy here. The program that is now an illustration of how the province used their LEMA budget. They planted about 49,350 hectares, and as you can see, it's actually categorized in terms of the hectares on maize, soybeans, sunflower, dry beans, groundnuts, cotton, vegetables, sugarcane, and other. And all these farmers had market determined for them. The whole of their ELEMA budget was contributing to the Masibiele Masimini project, slide 43, where project output was to supply and deliver seeds, fertilizers, and agrochemicals to subsistence and smallholder farmers. They spent about 39.9, which is almost 40 million of the budget. I may add here to say that the province has about 90 million of their own equitable share supporting us via the Masimini. By
fruits, which was 19%, and sugar cane 16%, then came vegetables, and agro-processing had the lowest budget, 2%. The outputs which were delivered were really poultry structures, hydroponic structures. They did a lot of animal clinics as well, storage facilities, and mushroom structures. Challenges that they reported, the reporting and capacity to manage projects, they reported as one of the challenges. Overhauling of the project management unit and new appointments to be made, that's what they are proposing to do to strengthen that unit so that their reporting and capacity to manage projects could be enhanced. The reopening of the Narapian College of Agriculture with no funds. They opened the college based on the pronouncement that was made by the president when he went for the mechanization project to launch it, and they had no budget for it. But then they received a special allocation from DAP, as I mentioned earlier on, to invest in Makapiani College. Lack of engineering capacity for infrastructure design and monitoring. They have appointed 2 professional resident engineers and 8 candidate engineers have been made to address this challenge. The flood that destroyed the infrastructure and delayed delivery in other areas, they have received special allocation to address affected farmers. They spoke of drought as one of their challenges and they are proposing to plant winter crops in suitable areas. Northern Cape, their budget was 72 million and they had 3 million in all over and they spent about 75 million, which was 99% or 100% of their budget, which was an improvement of from 2010-11 where they performed very 94% spending. They implemented 19 projects, reaching 778 beneficiaries, and they reported to have created 336 jobs. Commodities which were supported were wine, livestock, poultry, vegetables, cash crops, and industrial crops. They trained about 2,389 farmers in targeted needs-based training, and they are categorized into males and females. Recruited about 43 extension officers since the inception of ERP, and 6 in 2011-12. They upgraded qualifications for 20 extension personnel. And they have planted 2,388 hectares of vegetables, fruit, and grain. This is their ILEMA budget per district, and as you can see, the activities that were achieved, and all their money went to all the 5 districts of the province in those projects. The CASP budget, most of the budget went into beef, mutton, and goat, and the pie chart of their allocation, 56% went into livestock, followed by cash crops. And you'll see that 8% was used on industrial crops, 12% on poultry, and 5% on vegetables. Output delivered, they did a lot of irrigation systems, they did a lot of soap water structures, they invested in irrigation dams, poultry structures, hydroponic storage facilities, agribusiness development, as well as processing infrastructure. Challenges and remedial actions reported, the project implementation was often delayed as a result of ESCOM's turnaround time with installation of power on project sites. They engaged with ESCOM to try and strike the balance between their needs and delivery time. Non-response to tenders resulting in re-advertisement and subsequently delaying project implementation.
This is normally caused by a number of various factors ranging from too high prices, tax issues and so on. And this is something that they need to just be patient on or re-advertise when it happens because they have no control over it. Sourcing of specialized material by contractors sometimes take unexpectedly longer than anticipated. This is the reported as being beyond their control as the material is imported and not available in the country. Northwest, budget was 133. The province provided their own 10 million as an equitable share to invest in summer support. And they spent about 121 million of their total budget, which is about 84% of their budget. And this was a decline from their previous spending of about 105% in 2011. They implemented 122 projects reaching 1,464 beneficiaries, 549 of which were women. They created 50 jobs. They invested in wine, livestock, poultry, vegetable, cash crops, and industrial crops. Farmers that they trained were 1,035, recruited 44 extension officers since inception, but none in 2011-12. They upgraded qualifications for 75 personnel and built their upgrading facilities for Taung and purchased raw material job colleges. They planted 1,400 hectares of wheat, barley, oats, watermelon, as indicated then. The Ilima budget was mainly for the irrigation scheme, which is the Taung irrigation scheme revitalization. They spent their money also on school, community, and public garden mechanization packages, and some funds were redirected to Taung College of Education to build capacity for farmer training in irrigation farming. The community that received the biggest budget was beef, followed by poultry, and as indicated in the pie chart, 48% of the money went to livestock, followed by poultry and grain, mushrooms, and horticulture. Project output, the province spent money in fencing, in irrigation systems, animal handling facilities, dairy structures were two that were delivered, stock water structures, goat sheep housing structures, and they have a whole list of activities that they embark upon with the funds. Their challenges and remedial actions, they are saying one of their challenges is insufficient expertise, mainly in the engineering and economic area. And they're looking at recruiting or looking at their recruitment strategy and also possibilities of outsourcing. Delays in procurement processes, they're looking at revitalized supply chain management, through filling critical posts, lack of capacity of related service providers, this has been coming from other provinces as well, and they are proposing to do recommendations with the resources and before appointment. Implementation of infrastructure projects within a short space of time. They are looking at proper infrastructure planning and project management. The Western Cape is our last province, which received 82 million. They spent all their budget, which was the same performance as in 2010-11. Implemented 37 projects, reaching 52 beneficiaries. But I may say that the 52 were projects, the beneficiaries are actually about 1,600, which the province collected. They created about 793 jobs. Commodities supported were wine and table grapes, fruit, grain, and dairy. They trained about 1,413 farmers in targeted meat-based trading. Recruited about 54 extension officers in 2008-09, five of which were recruited in 2011-12, upgraded qualifications for 50 extension personnel, and they received money for their Elsenberg College of Agriculture for upgrading of its facilities, and implanted 1,845 hectares of maize and vegetables. The Edema budget was made for household food gardens, school community gardens. They planted some hectares in smallholder farmers, as well as some money which was used for mechanization and improvement. The current budget, they use the commodity approach, so the focus commodities are outlined as fruit, dairy, wine grapes, table grapes, and grain. And this is the budget spread per commodity, 30% of which went to fruit. The challenges that they reported was access to farmers, water rights, which is not always readily available due to the capacity within the Department of Water Affairs, and they are continuously engaging with the Department of Water Affairs on this. Cost of municipal water to community projects is expensive. This has already been coming, and they are trying to find alternative water sources and continuous engagement with municipalities. Farmers' access to common age land is problematic due to the demand for land for other purposes. They are continuously engaging with the municipalities for their IDP process. One of the challenges they reported was non-attendance of training courses by beneficiaries, where they have indicated that they need the training. And they're looking at shorter periods of training, on-farm training, as well as training after hours or weekends. Lack of experience and high turnover rate of extension officers was also reported as a challenge, which influenced the advice given to farmers. They're looking at or proposing that a national benchmark in North Coast should be done. That was the end of the summary per province on their spending, which touched on the communities they focus on investing in infrastructure in those communities, commodities, the training that went in for farmers, as well as the extension recovery plan. And now this is just a summary of how much work was done in terms of training. I have reported on it, but when you look at it in totality or at the national level, about 16,202 farmers were trained, and with training we are able to tell you what amount of it was credit bearing and which one was non-credit bearing, meaning that the one with credit bearing is accredited and the other one is non-accredited training. The colleges, its purpose was to revitalize agricultural colleges and reposition them as national agricultural training institutes operating in centers of excellence. The focus is in improving colleges' infrastructure and facilities, ensuring learning programs, accreditation and quality assurance, establishing and strengthening governance within these institutions, ensuring curricular review and providing required resources, mainly ICT, and building academic staff capacity. The budget was approved by National Treasury and 157 million over the MTF period has been made available for this focus. If you look at it, really, the 50 million was quite thinly amongst colleges, and all what they needed to do was win 5 million maximum per college, which they received. But as I had indicated, about 157 million was approved. We are hoping by the end of the MTF period we would have achieved much in turning around these colleges' outlook. There seemed to be some challenges, particularly in the Limpopo spending their allocation, but overall the total budget spend was at 87%. And Western Cape is having the star, as I indicated earlier on, they received only 3.6 million, not the 4 million, as highlighted. purpose for Ilungani Zeman, we all know, is to fight poverty by increasing food production in South Africa for farming, and this was really massive food production for the country. But it also focuses on unlocking agricultural production by investing in other strategic programs that include the rehabilitation of the irrigation schemes and other value-adding projects. Since inception, the program was started in 2008-09 initial year, and today it has received about 821 million. And that is the demonstration of how much was spent. Each year, we are sitting now at a total spending of 98%. And mainly to turn around those areas or land that is lying fallow and is productive. The money also here went as per the same disbursement schedules that are indicated in the CASP spreadsheet. 400 million in total was gazetted and made available for the 2011-12 financial year. And that is their distribution per province. Eastern Cape receiving 40 million, Free State 52, Gauteng 20 million, KwaZulu-Natal 60 million, Limpopo 40, Mpumalanga 40, Northern Cape 60, Northwest 40, and Western Cape 48 million. The beneficiaries reported to be supported with Ilungani Zema is sitting at about 110,000 in the previous financial year. And that is the spread in terms of how many beneficiaries were supported within Ilungani Zema. Ilungani Zema also, as I mentioned in the presentation, touched on a lot of household goods security, and this is really just to demonstrate how many households, if you look at it at a national level, were reached by the program. About 87,000 households were reached, 53 schools, and 1,174 community gardens. And the different provinces have actually named or branded their food security programs. Some Eastern Cape colleagues, they are Zondla, they Mohumamobum, Gauteng, they are talking, they are Zondla as well. KwaZulu Natal, Mazdasisane, Limpopo Food Security, they haven't come up with a creative name. Mpumalanga, Masibele, Masimene, Northern Cape, they are also food security. And Northwest, they speak of Limpopo, Western Cape is still not creative as well. And then this is really a demonstration of the hectares that we planted, as I had mentioned to you, just to see it at a glance what was reached nationwide, and about 87,000 hectares were planted in different commodities, as I had mentioned earlier on. Ilungani Zema as a program alone created about 8,333 jobs, and if you add the jobs created within CASP, the two programs have created about 14,000 jobs. This is an overall assessment, as we looked at it, of the strength of the program, both CASP and ILEMA, the weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And we see the strength as that we do have available funds, and they seem to be planned and will continue also into the future. However, some provinces have also added on to these funds with the equitable share, and we are hoping other provinces will add as well. So we have Limpopo, Northwest, Free State, KZN, and Mpumalanga, who have also added their equitable share to this program. We have dedicated staff in place to manage the grant. We have support of the program at the highest level. This is one of the indications of that support. Our weaknesses is lack of coordinated and detailed project plans, as highlighted by some provinces, which includes exit strategies on project support, un-
approach, and this we are wanting to address by coming up with a standard operating procedure which has actually been workshopped with all the provinces. Lack of agriculture information management system is one of the issues that we see as a weakness, and we are also addressing it, trying to make sure that the programs invest in agriculture information management system, because getting information and being certain that that information lasts and stays and is quality information is a headache for many provinces. So we are wanting to perfect that space. Shortage of technical skills is mainly in engineering, as highlighted by many provinces, and this is something that we need also to look at in strengthening the work that we do. There are opportunities, of course, and this is looking at the involvement of key stakeholders and leveraging on those partnerships, particularly with the private sector. We have seen many coming to on board, like Walmart, in our project, and we believe the more we put partnerships, the more we'll ensure the sustainability of our project. Opening of government markets is actually a great opportunity for our farmers, and we are waiting to get it running because we're already working on trying to prepare our farmers to be able to support that space or those markets. The threat that exists is clearly vandalization of our project, and we need other departments to support us with vandalization as well as with theft and damage, and particularly theft. I'm thinking here of police departments. There's volatile market prices, and this is something that we need to look at, and something that we don't really have direct control on. But we believe if we increase our alternative market, it might actually bring some relief in that space. High production input cost is another challenge or a threat. Dependence of beneficiaries of the grants is another threat, and we are hoping if we have a holistic approach where we introduce them to the grants and we explain to them when are we exiting, that will decrease the dependency that exists in some beneficiaries.
Thank you.
Thank you, teacher.
Are you proceeding?
Are we
done with all the presentation? Can we take an approach number that says we shall take through, we shall take into rather on one of these things? Then followed by the presentation. In that regard, we'd be expected to take note. The main reason why we take this approach that well, once we start engaging with the report, we are never finished. We can go on, as we all know each other. So that's why I would really wish us to take note. I have been taking the notes myself. I've also asked the piece of work that was done by the researcher for members of legislature, both national and provincial. But let's just get a copy of that. It also does give you a sense of what is going on through that research initiative. The copies have just been made. Okay, can we also, without really getting into the detail, because we have the hard copies, all what we do, for instance, as you would have been reading the SWOT analysis there, you can see, but only those areas that we really need emphasis on, that we really like on those, without getting to read everything that we can see, because we can also read. Thank you.
Chair, honourable members, the CFO will present on Mafisa. Thank you. CFO.
Thank you, Chair. While David is sorting out the computer, I think we all have hard copies. I will start with page number number 2. We've got annexures, which are the documents that we use for my visa generally. Those documents we have not printed them out for the members, but they are available for the members. We send them through with the presentation. And then the structure of the presentation, I think, is on page 3 and page 4. And then I would want to go to the background. This was a government-supported financial scheme, and its main purpose is the provision of financial services to smallholder farmers, growers, and farmers. And now what we have done also, we have also engaged with forestry and fisheries, and it was first implemented as a pilot project in 3 provinces. Then moving to slide number 6, what are the expected MAFISA outcomes? We wanted to have an efficient and effective developmental micro-agricultural finance system. And also we wanted to have more accessible, relevant and responsible financial services for farmers. And then we wanted also to increase productivity in farming and agribusiness operations, also have access to markets, and then have sustainable financial institutions with a great outreach capacity. Here we are talking about the intermediaries, and then have some sustainable food production, and then greater ownership over local financial financing programs. What are our institutional arrangements? MAFISA is accessed through a network of intermediaries. Currently we have 9 intermediaries, and they include both public and private institutions, and they have been allocated funds. And then one of the requirements is that the intermediaries must be registered with the National Credit Regulator to participate in the scheme. Moving over to page 8, which is still under institutional arrangements, the applications for loans are considered by these accredited intermediaries. And then they operate according to the MAFISA credit policy, which we have said is an extra one. The intermediaries are charging 8% per annum for interest. Now I need to say here that every time there's a repayment from a farmer, that's when they charge the interest and keep 7% for their services. And then what are the products? It's the loan and also service mobilization. What we have asked them that they should work as a self-help group and cooperatives so that they can help collectively. And then the other one is capacity building for these financial institutions. And then we also tried a portfolio indemnity scheme with Kula Enterprise, but it did not take off. We are having discussion with commercial banks, and one of them is interested in partnering with the department. And then also enterprise insurance. Then going to page number 10, we'll be using acronyms, and then for those acronyms, we are just explaining the full names on page 10. Now, slide number 11, we are talking about the approved amounts per intermediary and the amounts that we have transferred as a department. You will see that we have transferred 320 out of 500 million. And then mostly we also indicate the areas that they focus on and also the enterprise that they are involved in. Now what are we doing as a department towards monitoring and evaluation? On a monthly basis, the intermediaries submit monthly reports, and then the department pays inspection visits to intermediaries and to funded projects. And then we also have an annual review workshops,
From this financial year, we have also decided that we also need to have quarterly review workshops so that when there are problems, we need to solve them while they are still fresh. Okay, if you allow me, Chair, to skip slide number 13, which talks about the departmental activities, and for me to go to the intermediaries. The first one is the Eastern Cape Rural Finance Corporation, which is commonly known as Ubimba. I think it has also been affected by a merger. It was also part of those that participated during the pilot phase. And so far, they have received 8 million of the approved 180 million. And they fund mainly crop production, poultry, and ostrich projects. Now, you'll notice that for each and every intermediary, I've looked at the past 3 years, including the one 2011-2012. And we are saying in those 3 years that the intermediaries have dispersed 46 million, and then there have been a repayment of 40 million. And then we have also said the beneficiaries for the 3 years, it's 1,286, which includes 498 in the previous year. And the jobs that were created in the previous year, it's 1,565. And then we come to Gauteng Enterprise Propeller. I must say this is one of the problematic intermediaries in that their disbursement is not looking so good. It operates in Gauteng only. We have only given them 10 million of the approved 30 million. They initially indicated that they had capacity challenges, and they've just dispersed 2 million. But what has happened is that subsequently to March 2012, when we had a meeting with them, they have been able to approve loans that covers the 10 million that we have approved as a department. And then in terms of beneficiaries and jobs, you'll see that their numbers are very low. And the main reason is that the main disbursements only started in 2011-12. Then we move over to Hlanganani Farming Finance, which operates in Limpopo, and they fund vegetables and poultry projects. And they have received the whole amount of 20 million that was approved. They are also struggling to recover funds that they have dispersed, and because the farmers are not paying, and they have handed the responsibility to recover those funds to lawyers. And their jobs are created mostly on vegetable projects. And then they have also requested the department that they would want to withdraw their participation so that they can concentrate on the recovery of funds. We were supposed to have a meeting with them tomorrow on the way forward. We have asked for a postponement because we'll still be around Cape Town. But as you can see, we have dispersed 20 million, and then the only repayment has been 1.4 for the past 3 years. And then you'll notice that there were no jobs that were created in 2011-2012. And then we come to Cap Agri. Cap Agri operates in the Western Cape and Northern Cape, and they fund mostly livestock and grapes in the Western Cape. And they have a low repayment rate because the loans for livestock take a 5-year period for them to pay. And then this contract has expired by the end of December 2011. We are negotiating with them to come up with a new contract. Currently, in their bank balance, they've got 17 million that they have to pay back to the department. You will notice that in terms of jobs created,
In the previous year, they have created 1,124 jobs, and also they had 88 beneficiaries. And then we come to Makhali's Trial Cooperative, that operates mainly in the northwest, and they fund mostly grape production. And while this is one intermediary that provides comprehensive support packages, they also give mentors for farmers. They also provide them with production inputs. But also this contract has expired on the 30th of November 2011. We are having challenges with renewing this contract because of a difference of opinion between the department and the intermediary. But this, I must say to the honorable members, if you look at their repayment rate, this is one of the successful intermediaries, and would want to work with them more. And they have been able to create jobs and beneficiaries that we can be proud of. And then Mpumalanga Economic Growth Agency, this is also one of the problematic intermediaries. We have given them 50 million of their approved 1 million. And then also they fund various agricultural enterprises, livestock, flowers, vegetables, and grains. And they've also just merged. Initially they were called MADC, now they are called MEGA. And they funded a successful fish project in Delmas. And then also with the other, I think it was Gap Agri, most of their projects are livestock projects. I think, Chair, if you allow me to maybe also give this input to the honorable members, and would want assistance from members that are based in Mpumalanga. What has happened is that this intermediary has not put funds where it's supposed to put funds. What they have done, they have invested the money, and we have decided that we are terminating this contract with them. They have to pay back the money so that we can use it where we can see benefits instead of money being invested. And then we come to NERPO, which operates in all provinces, and they are also mainly in livestock related enterprises. And you will notice that they have dispersed 50 million, which is 50.8, and what we allocated to them was 50 million, which means that they are able to recycle some of the cash that they are receiving as part of their repayments. And then they've also had some beneficiaries over the 3 years, which is 1,252. And in the previous year, there were 521 beneficiaries. And then SASA, the South African Sugar Association, this was the one of the last to be accredited. They operate in KZN and Mpumalanga. And their loan repayments, you'll notice that they started now in 2011-12. And the main reason being that we have given them, I think, initially 10 million. And then also with sugar cane, their repayment is based on their harvesting, which normally takes 18 months. But they have been able to create some jobs and also some beneficiaries. And then we've got Beulwane, which operates in Gauteng, KZN and Northwest. It funds mainly cane growers, poultry and vegetables. And then their main loans are for sugar canes, and the main reason that we used for SASA in terms of repayments of loans is also applicable to Beulwane, but they have been able to get repayments from their farmers, and they have also been able to create jobs and beneficiaries.
And then, Chair, if you allow me, we have from slide number 32 to slide, apologies, to slide 56, we have included successful projects and failed projects for the benefit of everybody, so that we can show both sides that there are successes and there are failures. And if you allow me, Chair, and the honourable members, that I don't go through them, I will get direction from you. Okay. And then what we have done is that we have looked at the impact of MAFISA. It has created 19,000 jobs that have been sustained or created in the past 3 years. And then there's 8,000 beneficiaries that have been recorded, and there's idle lands that have been brought back to production. The skills level of farmers is improving, especially financial literacy, because this is one of the requirements that they have been asking from intermediaries. And then sugarcane growers have increased their output from 50 tons per hectare to 90 tons per hectare. And then we have challenges. One of the challenges is that most of these intermediaries do not include insurance in their financial packages, which in cases where maybe there are failures or debts or where people are not able to pay, they are not able to get their money back. And then also, I think the one thing that we have identified as a department is that we have been giving a fragmented support to clients, which we have worked on in the previous year. And then also, there's limited or restrictive use of MAFISA funds. It cannot be used for machinery and other assets, but we are saying in line with our working together with CASCAS, yes, that aspect. And then in terms of the intermediaries are able to attract highly skilled people, but their staff turnover is problematic. Now, what is the way forward? We will continue monitoring the intermediaries, and then we are currently reviewing the credit policy, and then we are working on implementing mechanisms to integrate grants and loan funding. And then we want to increase MAFISA outreach by partnering with commercial banks, commodity organization, and other institutions. And then also we have entered into a wholesale facility with Land Bank. I think the members previously asked on this issue with Land Bank. What we have done is that we have given Land Bank some money to give to intermediaries that they have, and they started to charge farmers 4% instead of the normal 8% that has been charged by our intermediaries. And we are working together with them in terms of making sure that there's consistency even amongst the other intermediaries. And then the last one is just an enterprise breakdown of where the funding has happened during the 2011-12 year. Thank you very much.
as we present the progress report, requested to us that you, the member of the committee, portfolio committee, needed the latest update on mechanization and structural update for all provinces with regard to distribution and challenges in province, including those that have not received structural. So we decided to stick to this table that actually compares only two provinces that are standing now. The state, we are only left with about 40 structural, that is 42 kilowatts. And 35 kilowatts. Then if you go down on the, if you scroll down on the implement, you see that on the implement all the 352 have been submitted. Then the next one is the housing. On top housing on tractors, you find that in housing on tractors, we have delivered everything, northwest, everything has been delivered. The next challenge that we still have, which is a smaller challenge, is the Western Cape. In Western Cape, we are only left with 5 kilowatts and 90 kilowatts that we have. This is in the past 2 months, but we, our information engagement with the ARC is that these will be delivered by Wednesday and Friday. Then we've got implement, on the implement for Western Cape without outstanding. This is the last, only problem we have for outstanding implement, 116. Implement without saying also that these applications of that will be given by Friday. Then the next, if you go to the end, Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, everything has been delivered, the Bombo, if you go to the end, I want to show the summary. That means out of the total deliveries, 90% of the checkup have been delivered, but only left 10%, which is both Eastern Cape, you know, which is Free State and Western Cape. If you go down on the implements, you see that we've delivered 95% of the implements. We are only left outstanding 5%, which is the 150 implements that are due to the Western Cape. The only problem that we have is the Free State, but we're working with the supplier, and we have managed to deal with problems that we had. That 2 months ago, we had 4 provinces that we have done that are outstanding. Now we're able to consider to our making some progress. This is the summary of the progress. We're 90% of the truck cars, we're 95% of the basic China.
Okay, I want to go through a lot of slides, because as the chair has indicated, most of the information is available and in front of them. I'm not sure, chair, whether everybody has the document.
We all have copies of it.
Okay, thank you very much. First I'll give you the background of the land care program, and this was established in 1997, when the national government had been working together with other provinces to strengthen the implementation of land care in South Africa. For South Africa, launching the program was very important and critical due to political and government system changes after the apartheid regime. The Constitution places emphasis on the need for community participation. The concerns regarding visible degradation of agricultural base and the need to involve communities was very critical to the country, thus the land care program was initiated. Why did we need the department start the land care program? This was because agricultural land is available in a fixed supply. In order to optimize on the agricultural potential of South Africa and meet the national food requirements, it was seen as very necessary to reduce and manage risks such as erosion, overgrazing, bush encroachment, alien plant infestations, and soil nutritional deficiencies. If you go through the country, especially when you go to bushland ridge, you see most of those dongas. That's where land care program is critical to rehabilitate those areas such that we increase food production in that area. Also, it was established to manage the risk that prevents starvation and malnutrition. There are three pillars for the land care program, which are land care movements, national land care programs, and organizational structure. The implementation framework can be described as the following. First, I'll propose some of the strategic objectives, which is to target the population so that they have the secure food security. We need to ensure sustainability of our state of natural resources. That is critical as well to generate benefits for our communities. But in order also to achieve this, it is quite very critical to have strategic partnerships. The operational objective in order to make sure that the project is very successful, as we create awareness, which means we influence stakeholders to buy into this and have ownership of the program. We have the policy documents, in particular the current legislation, the national resource management structure, and various other schemes such as soil conservation schemes. We also are scientific in our approach. We do the national monitoring and vulnerability assessment. We build capacity, which is training and result action to tackle land degradation. We ensure that the financial resources make an impact. What we put in make a big impact to the people of South Africa, and most of the time the financial resources go into fencing, soil conservation, and soil conservation schemes. I will not go into the structure, however, I will just say in that we have provisions land care structure and the land care secretariat. We meet as a national resource work management working group, which meets quarterly to look at progress by the provinces and address challenges that are affecting the implementation of the program. This meets all reports to the MINTEC and the recommendations that are taken to the MINTEC. There are ones that the province, the communities and the farmers have identified the project and business plans have been developed. There is a forum that we call the National Assessment Panel, which analyzes this business plan and submits it to the Director General for approval. We do have most of the time the expanded public work program coming in to assist us where there are problems, and the program also is working with partners, which is Department of Water Affairs, Department of Environmental Affairs, and as I said, public works through expanded public program work. Why do we want the organizational structure like this? Because we realize government support to development of communities through sustainable use of land is critical to increase food production. We want to enhance capability of farmers. We want to ensure integration in terms of implementing projects. We need commitment and ownership by this community. We also want to make an impact in understanding and in committing to national resource management issues to both urban and farming communities. This map will just show you a special distribution of arable land, which is class 1, 2, and 3. I won't go through it. I think it's extraordinary. Now, there are key facts about land degradation in South Africa. It is not going to be addressed. One, it will compromise functioning and provision of ecosystem services for human well-being. Two, it stresses the livelihood through reduction of food security, human health, and water availability. Three, it will also threaten the development and sustenance of rural economies and associate social development processes essential for achievement of minimum development goals, including poverty reduction. 2014 is just around the corner, and we would like to report as much progress as possible 2014 when we have to report achievement. This is the plan to do the process on how we go about dealing with land care process, and I won't go through that, but basically it's just that we submit business plan, we have a deadline for that. Then we analyze them through the National Assessment Panel, and this is done around November. There's timeline for everything, and where there is never a chance, the National Assessment Panel, and it's all around January, basically along the 25th of January. The business plan is approved and consolidated into national business plan. Then this national business plan usually comply with the national treasury regulations and submitted to the DG for approval. A total of 150 million, that is not supposed to be a comma, I think there was an oversight there, is allocated for land care, and that includes 65 million for fancy schemes. The 55 million scheme, I think it's for this financial year, and it will be finished, I think, during this year. Then we approve payment scale, it's forwarded to all provinces. Usually a workshop is conducted regarding the reporting process and business plans for 2012, 13, 2013, 14, respectively. Then for the first quarter, this is what has happened for 2012, 2013. Compliance certificate has been submitted by the provincial head of department. Director General for Department has signed off compliance certificate. The alien activities, members, most of the time are eradication of alien plant species, erection of fences, conservation, agriculture, and control of erosion. Basically, those are the activities. They are generic in nature, and I think they are similar. In the Eastern Cape, we have 18 projects generating, I think, about 1,200 jobs. Free State, we have 19, generating 217. Basically, I won't go through all the provinces, but I'll say we have all in all about 116 projects, and we estimate that the work opportunities that the WOZ will be several 13,000 jobs. I won't go through this slide, also because it's Houston, the same thing, but for that thing, for 2011-2012, basically for 2011-2012, we have 115 number of projects generating about 2,000 work opportunities. What is critical is for 2012-13, which is what we estimate, we envisage to achieve this year. I won't also go through all those provinces, but I'll say for this year, this financial year, we estimate about 150 number of projects generating about 8,000 work opportunities. This slide 17 will give you the land care payment schedule. If you allow me, Chair, I will skip the payment schedule. Because I think it's I'll just indicate the total, saying we have been allocated 115 million. We think for the first quarter we will dispense 11 million by 22 August, 40 million to provinces, and then 24 October, 40 million. And by the 23rd of January, about 23 million. The different allocation amount per province is indicated there. We have challenges, as in any other program when implementing this. We have the poor reporting by some of the provincial departments on the new reporting system. We have called expanded public work to come and explain at the National Resource Management Working Group, where everybody is set to explain how the system works. They are prepared to go to each and actually they have been to each and every province to try and retrain them. But we still have challenges that I think we will be able to address later on once people get used to the system. The one critical and what is worrying most of the province currently is there is no alignment of natural resource management structures for provinces. We have met in the workshop all the provinces. We have done a submission that has gone to the DG, and once it is approved, I think it will go through the normal process of going to MINMEC. The abatement recorded is that the expanded public work program training has been arranged for all reporting officials. Discussions with affected provinces on required alignment process have taken place. I just want to show you here what the impact of the land care program is. If you look on your left, on the alien control, the indicator center, look at what happened after those alien investments. They have been removed, then you see that the area is much more clearer, trees are growing taller. If you look at the lower bottom, when the bush encroachment, now look at the grazing land there. The trees have really grown, and we have some more grasses there. This shows you how we go about the consultation with communities when we identify projects, and also when we do awareness and capacity building to land care beneficiaries. The same thing, this is for youth development.
because all those youth servants, they are aware of the importance of land care programs. Look at the slide on your left where there is no care, then look at the slide on your right hand where there is land care. Now water is beginning to flow, you can see also the natural forest is growing there. Then when you see at the lower one, the construction of gardens, look then once it has been highly created, look at the wonderful slide on the right where now there is a vegetable garden. There is another one where there is conservation agriculture. When zero tillage means tillage, look at the slide in between on what happened thereafter. Moving forward, land care program is key for sustainable development as it has a major role to play on current and future availability of natural resources. Protection of land against degradation is the most important action to address job creation, food security in a systematic approach to sustainable, socially balanced economic development. Okay, then there is the last word on land care financial report. If you allow me a share, I won't go through it, but I'll just give the total. But in terms of dollar allocation for this financial 2011-2012, we had 57 million, and that's the allocation for first quarter, second quarter, and third. For 2011, we spent 90, in terms of expenditure, 95% of the total allocation. Then it gives you one for 2012-2013, that's the financial report. We have been given 150 million. The reason why there's 0-0-0 budget there is because the transfer was done late to provinces and they have not been able to For this one, in terms of division of revenue and for 2012, Eastern Cape was allocated 16 million and they were supposed, the payment schedule was supposed to be 1.6 million. The provincial actual payment was 58,000. So far they haven't spent anything or they okay, then what happened to zero was transferred, but from the meeting that I had yesterday with the provincial head of department, that money was transferred very late. So this, I think it was transferred 2 weeks ago. The actual payment of the total available is 0.3%. Projected outcome for financial year is around 15 million rand. And we think maybe they will be over or under expenditure of about 1.5 million. For the Free State, the allocation was 8.9 million. Total available is still 8.9 million. Payment scheduled year to date is 896,000. As I indicated, the money has been transferred already, but it was too late. The actual payment should be 426 million. And the actual payment of the total available is 4.8%.
So that's it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I think let's stop there because going through these last two slides is going to be problematic because it appears that members don't have those slides, but we can make them available. I think let's stop there and entertain comments and questions. Thank you, Chair.
Members, the time according to my watch is 44 minutes past 11. What I would want us to do is to take a quick tea break. before it gets cold, and perhaps you could be out for 10 minutes. You'll be back here, say, just 5 minutes before 12. And then we can start engaging with you. Thank you very much.